He learned to pitch in your backyard. Now his team's coming over to celebrate their high school champion pairs bare spots in only 2 weeks or less. Pennington's been trusted since 1945, and now at Workship. So you need to patch those bare spots fast. Pennington One Step Complete has a revolutionary formula that's even faster. One Step Complete from Pennington. Honest green. Get your lawn ready for any occasion. Head to your local retailer to pick up One Step Complete.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. We're live. Doing it B.I.C.
My name is Robert Drake, and I'm your host, and we're broadcasting live from DCW Studios in Dallas, Texas.
Okay, world, here's the real deal. Here's the real deal. You know this is not Silent Words. It is. Can't stand the heat. My name is Robert Drakes, and I'm here to listen to poetry the way that everybody should listen to poetry. And I want to introduce you to the host of the show. Her name is Gina J, a.k.a. Explicit Fire. Once again, this show is If You Can't Stand the Heat. Gina J, are you there?
I'm here. How's everybody doing?
I'm doing great. I'm pretty sure the rest of the world is as well.
Outstanding. I'm down here in Texas, so I can't stand the heat because it's getting hot down here. And I know it's just going to get hotter as the time go on. Last week we had a really nice turnout. Had some folks calling in from my hometown, the Nasty Natty, some folks from Dallas and a few other places calling in and are participating. So I'm looking forward to some folks calling in tonight, dropping a few lyrics. I got some pieces for y'all. Kind of going to tap in on relationship topics, the good, the bad, the ugly, cheaters, liars, that kind of thing. And, of course, I'm going to bring it hot and in your face, real type shit for grown-ups. So if you're a little squeamish, this probably ain't the show for you.
If you're not 21 or older, if you're not grown-up and sexy, if you're not a little rough around the edges, this might not be the show for you. I love it, Gina J. If you can't stand the heat, right? If you can't stand the heat,
If you cannot stand the heat, we're not gonna finish it.
But the host of this show is Gina J, and she's AKA Explicit Fire. She's here doing it B.I.G. So let's go ahead and introduce them to some of those. You ready to introduce them to some of one of those hot pieces?
I kind of just want to touch base, on the relationship things and just different formats and places that I've been and heard different poets kind of touch bases on certain topics about women and, men. I've often been, tagged as an angry poet because I talk about, issues and men, but I'm an equal opportunist as well because I talk about women and what they do and how they be on some other stuff. So this piece I'm doing is called Ouch. Kind of like I say all the time, if you can't say man, amen, say ouch. And I actually won a poetry slam with this piece. So I'm going to start the show off with that. And like I said, those people that are calling in or want to get on the mic, push one if you're on the phone. And we can go ahead and get you on. But like I said, again, this first piece is called Ouch.
All right, let's do it.
All right. I got something on my mind that makes the hairs on the back of my neck stand up. It's about men who never want to listen to their woman and never shut the hell up. I always know everything about every situation all the damn time. but never got shit to say when you tell them you got something on your mind. Now, just because you got two balls and a dick, you think you're a man, well, I can't tell. Because according to the Webster Dictionary, that simply makes you a male. You a man by character, how you handle your business, take care of your own. And I don't call yourself being a man still living in your mama's home. Now, ladies, don't get all excited because y'all act like some silly chicken heads, letting these no-good-ass men in your house and around your kids just to say you got some dick in your bed. When you get up in the morning and head out the door to your vocation, this nigga at home running up your electricity on your damn PlayStation. And once you come home from working 8 to 10 hours standing on your feet, this nigga got a nerve to ask you, baby, what we gonna eat? I'm amazed at the shit women will deal with just to say they got a man in their life. And 4 or 5 years later, still dealing with this shit, but he ain't never made you his wife. And how you gonna call yourself a man when you don't work, take care of your kids, and living off a woman day after day? Wanna be out in the clubs falsing big when you ain't got money to pay? And ladies who think their pussy is dripping in diamonds and dusted in gold, that's a lie y'all been living some myth that you must have been told. See, your pussy ain't shit because it's too easy to get. It's what's on top of your shoulders and in your head that's going to keep that man at home and in your bed. And fellas, that fancy car you driving, those 7 or 8 inches you packing, and that deep, long stroke don't mean a damn thing when the bills are due and your ass crying broke. Now, I'm tired of all the finger pointing, the passing the buck, and the diverting the blame. With the truth of the matter is, everybody knew the rules when they started playing this game. Fellas, a woman can't take from you what you don't freely give. And ladies, a man can't lay his head in some place you didn't invite him to live. Now, fellas, if I'm coming off a little harsh, that might be how it sounds, but I'm simply saying it's time for you to man up and bitch the hell down. And ladies, if I stepped on a few toes and brought a few of you to your knees, that's what I'm saying to all my sister girl is simply put, bitch, please. Now, said all I've had to say, you heard the words coming out of my mouth. So if you can't raise your hand and say amen, keep them down and say out.
Man. Now, that was some real, that was a work of art there. What I like about this piece, Explicit Fire, and some of the other pieces that you done last week, is the way that you come so live and direct at one tender. And then when they jump on the bandwagon, as soon as they get ready to jump on the bandwagon and start cheering you on, you smack them right in the face.
Right.
But he's sorry. Yeah. You know, you put it right back on him. He's sorry. But, bitch, you play a part in it, too.
Oh, definitely. And so that's why I say I'm equal opportunity and in relationships, irregardless to what status they're in, whether you're married, you just dating someone, you know, whatever. Everybody plays a position in the situation that they're in. Everybody has some contributing factor to why things are the way that they are. And at the end of the day, you have to own that. You have to be willing to say, you know what, I'm the reason why this nigga living off of me, or I'm the reason why, you know, my bills ain't paid, but he constantly here running up, you know, my electricity. So you have to be responsible for your contribution to that situation, what caused the situation to jump off in the first place, and own it. You know, men, if a woman is a gold digger and she in your pockets all the time, well, you contributed to that. You let her get in your pockets. You know, you thought she had a fine ass, or, you know, she looked good, or she had some big titties, or whatever the situation was, you allowed that to jump off, so you got to accept that. And at the end of the day, we all have a position or all have responsibility for the situations that we're in. If they're not good, then you make them better. But if you can't say amen, say ouch.
Powerful, powerful piece. Now, one thing that I like is when you say, you know, say the guy knew she was a gold digger, but he liked the way her rim shaker, you know, he liked looking at her backside. That's what got him. You know, he liked her cute face and her smile. That's what got him. What gets me is the guys that get the girl, and the girl can't boil water, right? But they in love with the rest of them, and then they expect for her to be able to cook for their kids. No, the girl couldn't. She couldn't make cereal. You know.
Or guys that you meet and you all have just been dating maybe 1 or 2 weeks and now they want you to meet their kids, or the women, they want you to meet. Why you want a man or a woman to meet your kids and y'all not in a relationship? Y'all just either fuck buddies or y'all just kicking it or whatever, but why would you want to invite someone into your home? I don't want to do your kids' hair. I don't want to get to know little Lisa. I don't want to play, you know, patty cake. I don't want to do that. If we're not going to be serious and we're moving forward about a future, then your kids should be off limits to me. Not that I can't know that you got kids, but I don't want to socialize with them or whatever. And women, quit bringing just anybody around your daughters and your sons. I mean, a lot of things are going on, and you don't really know people. You don't know what he's looking at. You don't really know why he's trying to get up in your house that quick. So you have to be mindful of those things. Just to say you got a man and you got somebody around your kids that can ultimately cause them some type of danger or some kind of hardship. So, I mean, we just got to be leery of the things that we do in relationships. And at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, take ownership for what we're doing and keep it real, basically.
Yeah, and I totally agree. I totally agree. You know, I don't want to meet your kids that early in the game, you know, and you shouldn't want me to meet your kids that early in the game. And, you know, that's a whole, you know, other thing that we have going on there. But a lot of people, you know, they be hoping. You know, you only know the dude, you know, for 30 minutes. See, I already know your address, you know, you live and all this kind of stuff. I think they just be hoping that this is the right one.
Oh, straight up, no doubt.
Yeah, let me check these lines here, explicit five. So go ahead, and if you have another piece or if you have some more conversation you want to add to this, I'm going to check these lines real quick and see if we have anybody else that can join after the next piece.
Okay, okay. This next one is entitled Put Me in the Game or Trade Me. It seems you have been greatly misinformed, so let me assure you I'm unique, different than any other. I'm not trying to be your maid for hire, your slave, your mistress, and certainly not your mother. Now, if you're looking for a partner, a helpmate, a confidant, your equal, and your friend, I'll be all that, but not your doormat, your punching bag, your slot machine. Pumpkin, you better think again. I will have your back to the very end, walk through the fire with you, on that you can rely. But I'll also be a sister to straight get missing if I catch you in a bare-faced, off-the-wall-ass lie. I'll cook your dinner every night, run you a hot shower, rub your body down, and sex you like a king. But just like I give you the world on a platter, I can take it away if I don't get no ring. Your friends telling you stay single, man, don't settle down, and you want to run the streets all night. But remember, just because you're not up for doing the job, the next man will clock in and do that shit right. So the ball is in your court. I'm going to let you call the next play, if you know what I mean. But believe me, I'm telling you, the clock is ticking. Call the wrong play, and I'm going to the next team. Now, you want what you want when you want it and how it want it, and that's the only way that it can be. And I'm telling you, as your star player, leading scorer, all-pro MVP, put me in the game or trade me.
Put me in the game or trade me.
Put me in the game or trade me. You know, I mean, we going to do this or we ain't going to do this. We going to be a couple. We ain't going to be a couple. We going to keep playing house now. Put me in the game. And I use the sports analogy because, you know, of course, men love sports and they understand that. They understand positions and teams and all that. So put me in the game. Let me play the position you got me on the court to play, or let me go. I mean, whichever one is fine, but you don't have a whole lot of time. You know, just like in a game, you get four quarters or, you know, two halves or whatever you want to call it. Put me in the game or trade me. Quit playing around the decision of whether or not you want to man up and be in a relationship, actually be in one, or let me go.
I totally agree. Yeah, I mean, man, this is amazing. Like I said, this is everyone should be able to listen to and you know, be a part of spoken word, be a part of this poetry, be able to hear some real stuff. Not just that little prissy stuff that we are accustomed to. You know, this is some real talk. This is some real life, you know, situations here that you're discussing. You know, basically, and this is what I'm hearing, correct me if I'm wrong, that if you have a man or a woman, they need to be true to each other. They need not lie. I heard you say something in there about lying, right, not being honest. You know, they need to be straightforth with each other. And be real with it. Keep it 100. People say this all the time. But they say keep it 100 and they're keeping it 750. And I'm talking about 7.5.
I think even the people that are saying keep it 100 don't. You know, the ones that say, you know, people ought to, you know, do what they're going to do or whatever, they don't. So at the end of the day, you know, quit asking for what you're not willing to give. Quit asking for a person to be real with you or keep it real with you. Well, you ain't really keeping it real. You're not being. I mean, we all have friends and relationships, and we all can be on the outside looking in, and we all can assess things. And at the end of the day, but what about your relationship? What are you doing to take care of home? What are you doing to take care of your man or take care of your woman? And like I said, it's a give and take in those situations when you have people that are just simply, you know, for whatever reason, they just want to play games. They just at that point in their life where they're about some games, they want to play games, they want to keep lying. And, I mean, at the end of the day, that's fine if that's what you want to do. That's fine if that's your ultimate choice. But then who are you to blame when things happen or things come back on? You got people killing folks. You got stalking. You got people burning up clothes and burning up people, you know, slashing tires. You know, that song, I bust the windows out of this car. You're doing all of those kind of things because you've been lied to or, you know, misled. And it ain't no joke. You know, personal property is hard to come by nowadays with the recession. So, you know, I don't really think nobody can afford to have to just go buy a brand new wardrobe just because, you know, somebody done got a little silly in the head or whatever. So, and then women, for the most part, I believe, know when they man is cheating. They see signs. They choose to ignore it. They have that intuition, that gut feeling. And even for the ones that just flat out know, at the end of the day, if you stay, just shut the hell up. I don't want to hear about it. Don't call me complaining. Quit getting me out of my bed at 3 o'clock in the morning. Quit, you know, oh, what am I going to do? What am I? Quit it. Let it go. I can't deal with it. At the end of the day, if that's what you're trying to do, do you. But don't keep bringing me into the scene because you can't decide what you want to do or if you want to be with this nigga or not. And same thing with fellas. You know, if you're going to be with the chick because she ain't keeping a good house, she can't cook, she can't do all those things, and at the end of the day, you got to own that. You got to accept it and shut the hell up. You wish you couldn't cook when you met her.
Absolutely. You have to accept it for what it is. Now, since we're on this kind of relationship topic right here, and we have a person there that has, well, I believe that may be your line. We have a person there that has their hand up, so we have that one. We have other people listening online that they don't want to give input right now. So let me go ahead and get a number out again. It's 646-378-1632. And this is if you can't stand the heat, right? If you cannot stand the heat, if you can't stand the heat, the number is.
Don't come in the kitchen.
Yeah. The number is 646-378-1632. You're listening to Gina J, who's our host, Gina J, a.k.a. Explicit Fire. She's doing spoken word. We also invite people from all over the country that do spoken word to participate in this show. We also want you to tune in to Waco Jams. That's WACOJAMZ.com. You can go to DrakesLive.com as well and listen to this show, DrakesLive.com. Now, Explicit Fire, this is kind of, if we could go into like a little dialogue about some of the feedback that you just gave us on that piece, when you're talking about if you want to stay with him, don't involve me in it, don't wake me up at 3 o'clock in the morning, don't, you know, and you also made a statement that most of the time when ladies have a gut feeling that the man is cheating, you know he's cheating and you're wondering if he's cheating, right? My question to you is, if it's your, what's the, what? What draws the line? I know you have a diehard friend girl that's really, 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 really best friends with you. And then you also have some other friend girls that may be considered not really, really close friends but associates. My question is this. If you know that their man or significant other is not being faithful, is it your duty to bring to their attention or is it too much backlash to deal with?
I mean, for me, my whole personal assessment is I'm telling, and I'm going to let the chips fall where they may. You may be mad at me. You may decide to stay with dude. I mean, it may be a whole lot of things that you factor into your decision. At the end of the day, it's never going to be said, I knew and didn't tell you, or I had that information and didn't bring it to you. And so, fortunate enough for me, the women that I truly call my friends, and that I know have my back and I believe I would ride or die for, I believe that I could come to them and tell them that and they would understand that I'm bringing it to them out of love and what my position is on it. I've asked that question many times before and I've got different feedback. Most men I know that I've asked the question, oh, no, they're not going to tell, they're not going to say nothing, they're not going to whatever. So, I mean, a lot of women have said, no, they wouldn't either, or it depends on the friendship, or it depends on the person. So I definitely agree that it does depend on the relationship you have with that person. But if I call you my friend and we've been friends and, you know, you know me and I know you, you know, in that capacity, I'm telling. And Like I said, if you stay with them, you stay. If you don't, you don't. But whatever you choose to do, you're going to have all the information you need to make your decision.
Okay. Now, have you ever been in a situation where you did present this to someone and didn't get the actual response that you thought you were going to get from them?
I got the response I thought I was going to get initially, but they decided to stay. And because I was the source of that information, her dude had a problem with, you know, with me. You know, he didn't want me going around her no more or whatever the case may be. I was fortunate enough in that particular situation that she didn't allow that to hinder our friendship. To that degree, I respected how he felt about it. But, of course, you're going to feel that way about it because you done got caught up. So, yeah, you're going to feel, you're going to feel, I want Gina around because she going to, you know, because I know what you're doing. So now, you know, that kind of thing. But I've always gotten the, you know, initial reaction like, you know, they want the details or how did I know, where was I at, those kind of things. But I've never got someone who didn't believe me or was angry at me. And fortunately, I haven't had a whole lot of those situations, but I've been thankful enough that the ones I have, I still maintain my friendship.
Okay. And I know a lot of people use that as an excuse, like, I didn't see it happen with other people, so I wouldn't tell because it backfires on you. And then if he or she stays together, then you the odd one out. You know, you the one that, you know, she started all that mess. No, you started all that mess. She just told it on you or you just got caught. So, you know, those are the things that we're looking at, but I just thought that was interesting, you know, because when you touch on those things inside of that piece, you know, I thought that was an interesting way we touched on that after the piece. And a lot of people go through that. A lot of people need to know how to deal with it. Once again, we can't tell you how to deal with it, how you feel like you need to deal with it, but know that there's a chance that it can go great and there's a chance that it can go absolutely wrong and be blown up in your face. So.
And what about yourself?
Yeah. You know, just do what you do.
Have you ever been in that situation?
Well, I had situations where I had a friend and she was his wife at that point, but then became his ex-wife, was engaged in a relationship with his wife. It was one of his really good friends. Everybody knew, and he had no clue. He had no clue until the man was killed. And he played at the funeral, and everybody was looking at him like, you know, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? He had no clue that they was having this relationship and that they had, that they had a child that he was the godfather of. So I chose not to inform him of the situation because, and the reason I did is because that was his boy, and that eventually was his ex-wife. So my thing was, there's no reason for you to get crazy, and your relationship is at its end. You know, it's coming close. It's drawing to a close.
Okay.
You know, but you know, a lot of people say, well, you should have told me. I would have wanted to know. Blah blah blah, this and blah blah that. But I've seen those things go so bad, especially. I think the women, when it happens with the women, it doesn't go as bad, and maybe I'm wrong. I know it's a lot of confusion back and forth between the women, but with the guys, it's a little bit more severe because I've seen where, say that I go and tell my boy that his girl is cheating, and to get the focus off of her, she'll say, oh, well, he's trying to tell you what he thinks I'm doing. Did he tell you that he was looking at my ass the other day? Did he tell you that he be winking his eyes at me? Or did he tell you that me and him used to go together, whatever? And some of that stuff be a total lie. But now,
well,
the focus is off her.
You have to look at it from a point that is the depth of that relationship. Is that relationship really that type of relationship so that I know if a person is coming to me telling me ABC, then I believe that I have a handful of friends that if they tell me, it's as good as my eyes seeing it myself. That's how much I trust them. So he ain't going to be able to finagle the situation no other kind of way. Now there are friends of mine who I wouldn't trust as far as I can throw them, and so I would have to kind of wonder their motive, what's their reasoning behind it, you know. And I'm not going to say he could completely talk his way out of it, but I would be more leery of the source of that information just because I know the caliber of woman who brought that information to me. But at the end of the day, you know, if the trust is broken, whether it's by a shadow of a doubt or whatever, then the trust is broken, and it's kind of hard to get back. And when you're dealing with that type of relationship, it's probably on its way out the door anyway, because if you can't trust somebody, I don't care how much you say you love them or how great the relationship may or may not be, you're going to find yourself doubting what they're telling you. And it's not a good place to be. So, you know, it happens a lot of times, and a lot of people stay in relationships. They know they have no business staying in or being in. I've done it. I've been there. You know, we hope that the older we get, the wiser we become, and we change those habits and those things. But, you know, dick make you crazy, so it happens sometimes. Pussy make you crazy, like those kind of things.
It's a terrible drug. Now, one thing that I like about these common sense shows that we're doing here, this If You Can't Stand the Heat, having real people having real conversation, is when you have the expert on the line or the person that's hosting the show say, you'll get in this situation. I've been in that situation, I know. Most of the time, right, you get these upbeat talk show hosts, they the expert, and they've never done anything wrong. They never say, right, you know, I can give you advice on this because I was in the relationship too long. The dick made me crazy, you know. So that's a good thing.
Right. Or the ones that want to tell you about your kids, but they don't have no kids, you know. Okay,
yeah.
I'm not really trying to listen to what you're talking about, Oprah. You know, no disrespect, but you don't have no kids. You're pretty much not an authority on how to raise children. So,
yeah.
It's that kind of situation. You know, I would be hypocritical if I said if I hadn't experienced certain things or I hadn't been in certain situations, because I have been. You know, it is what it is. I've been a sucker. I've been played on. I've been lied to. I've been cheated. But ain't no fury like a woman scorned. Just know that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I've been on the receiving end of some of those situations, and I know what you're saying is definitely 100% true. Any guy out there that thinks that it's not a horrible thing to deal with, brother, you're wrong. But I like this, you know, and I see a couple of people on the line calling from the Waco area, from Texas area. So, guys, if you want to engage this conversation, give some input, or if you're a poet and you want to, bless us with some of your pieces, all you have to do is dial 1. We'll screen the call and get you live on the air with Explicit Fire. Also, we'd like to say thank you to all those listeners out there in the Ohio area that's tuning in, people down in Dallas and all over the country. LA, I see some people calling from LA over there, so that's a good thing. Anyone that wants to join this conversation, 646-378-1632. 1632. Explicit
okay.
Fire, what do we have up next?
It's called When a Dog Barks, You Better Listen. Don't drive yourself crazy contemplating this or that. Don't try to figure out why. Just believe me when I tell you if his vocal cords are vibrating, he's probably telling you a lie. The concept of telling the truth goes beyond anything he could comprehend, and that is why it's a known fact that a dog is a man's best and only friend. Look you in the face on Monday, tell you you're in love and you're the love of his life. Don't believe that. Be leery of turning your back on this brother unless you find of a knife in your back. Bed you down on Tuesday, make love to you like you're the queen of the Nile. Then rush to the west side of town to sleep with the mother of his child. Now, on Wednesday, he uses spending time with his daughter as the reason y'all can't meet. But the truth of the matter, he's playing the hookup with his Brandeis Freak of the Week. Now, on Thursday, he says he's at choir rehearsal, which lasts all night long. But when asked about Sunday selection, he can't name one damn song. Now, when Friday rolls around, he want to hang out with his boys all night. But when you flip the script and do the same, he want to start a damn fight. Now, Saturday rolls in, and he gets missing, answering no calls, your page, and has pissed you off to the point your soul is consumed with rage. Take Sunday as your day of peace and joy. Spend some time with something 6 feet tall and dark. But remember these words from a sister like me. You better listen when that dog barks. That's what's up.
Yeah.
Hello? Robert, you there? Hello, you there? Well, I guess he muted himself for a minute or something to be back, but that piece was basically self-explanatory. You know, when men are giving out signs and they're giving out, you know, signals and they're saying certain things, listen, you know, when a dog barks, you listen. It's either alert you to somebody's at the door or he's about to attack your ass or something is happening when the dog is barking. So it's that same concept when a man is talking to you and your intuition is telling you he's probably lying, he's not being sincere, or there's something else going on, you should probably be real believing that because that's really the truth. And so a lot of times we downplay it, and then we find ourselves, you know, months and months later, like, oh, I remember when this happened, or I remember this, or I remember that. And at the end of the day, you knew it when it happened because your intuition was telling you that. So, and it's not just for men. Again, I'm not male bashing. Women do the same identical thing all the time. They have the same issues. They lie. I'm going to say we're a little bit better at it because most men's ego don't allow them to believe or conceive that their woman would be out cheating or, you know, he ain't holding it down at home or whatever the case may be. So most of the time when women are telling lies or whatever, men just choose to believe it or downplay it. Not in all cases, but in some. So that's just been my experience with that. And so I just thought I'd write that little piece to, you know, kind of, you know, alert the ladies that when you hear that dog bark, you normally pay heed to it. So when you hear that little voice inside of you or you feel like something ain't right, 9 times out of 10 it probably isn't, and you should, you know, be aware of that. Robert, have you joined us back on the line? All righty then. Well, I'm going to move into my next piece, and hopefully he'll pick back up. Maybe he had to step away. It's called What's the Bitch's Name? My mind and eyes have been known to play tricks on me, but in this case, that just ain't true. Because I know when I looked across the room, I saw that bitch and you. Now, my first impulse was to come over and ask you what the fuck is going on. But I got more class about myself, so I said I'll wait till you get home. Now, 4 o'clock rolls around, you decide you want to turn your key. Saw me sitting on the couch and jump back looking all stupid, talking about, baby, you scared me. Had another hand some roses, this nigga smelling like he just showered. I threw the motherfuckers on the floor and asked, what you doing coming in at this hour? And before he could start with the baby listen or baby let me explain, I looked him in his motherfucking eyes and asked, what's that bitch's name? Girl, you on some silly shit. That's what that nigga said. And my first impulse was to grab the lamp and bust him upside his motherfucking head. It's bad enough you've been busted, so don't insult me and stop playing games. For the second time tonight, I'm asking you, what's that bitch's name? Now, you tell me you and your boys gonna hang out for a little bit. I call my girls and so do we. But you so busy hugged up with this bitch, you don't even see me. I'm fucking around like you still single, hanging where my friends be at all, hugged up with this silly bitch, showing me no disrespect. Now, you left the club at 11. It's 4 a.m. That's enough time to drive to another state. And in the 5 years we've been living together, you ain't never come home this late. So I know where you been and what you've been doing, so please stop playing games. Now count them. This is the third time I've had to ask you that bitch's name. As a matter of fact, don't even bother. It don't matter. Just the sight of you makes me sick. I came home and packed your things so you can go back to that bitch. So you gonna kick me out after 5 years, turn your back on your man? You gonna trip out like this over some silly bitch and some one-night stand? I ain't even tripping because you fucked that hoe. I'm tripping because you're trying to run weak-ass game. I'm turning my back on you because you lied to me and you still ain't told me that bitch's name. Look, get your shit and go back to that bitch, because right now you're wasting my time. And since you couldn't tell me her name, when you tell this story, nigga, don't forget mine. That's what's up. So, again, that piece was just about what it was about. And, you know, women do it too, with niggas out in the club or whatever. And the thing about it is, if you're going to cheat or if you're going to whatever, have the common sense not to go someplace where your girl hang out or her friends hang out. I'm quite sure the city you ain't got more than one or two little spots. So, you know, but you just out being all disrespectful. You don't care who see you, what you doing, how you doing it. So at the end of the day, you know, you got me, you know, looking like a fool in front of everybody and you don't care. And then to top it off, you want to lie about it. You want to act like, oh, this ain't happening or this ain't this or this ain't that. I got to listen to you tell me lies. So, I mean, you know, that was a little angry piece, and every now and then we get a little angry or whatever, but for the most part, I try to allow myself to vent on paper and not, you know, physically or practical. So this is my therapy at times, and some people say I need Jesus, but, you know, I just think it is what it is, and, you know, that's the route that I go.
It is what it is. Yes, ma'am. Can you hear me explicit?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay. Now, I was having a little – you had me on that – this piece that you just did was excellent. But the one before that, I really wanted to comment on that one. Switchboard wouldn't open up my mic for whatever reason, so I'm back now. But here's the deal. That other one that you put out before this last one?
When a dog barked?
Yeah, the dog bark. You know, that one right there, it was some moments in my life that it was ouch. And it's times that you dealt with the baby's mama and using the kids. I got to spend time with the kids and all those different things. And woo-wee. That was a good one. And it just so happened my mic wouldn't open up, but I was like, you had me in awe. I mean, that was one that I'm ouch, 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 every time you spit a verse. So it's a lot of guys out there that probably couldn't stand that one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like I said, it was simple and straight to the point because, you know, the statement that I made is that we as people, and they always say that women's intuition, if you're feeling it, 9 times out of 10, you ain't crazy. It's coming from somewhere. So at the end of the day, you probably have a good, valid reason for your concerns and issues most of the time, not all the time. But, you know, when you hear a dog bark, you kind of be alert. You look around. You go see why he's barking or whatever. So in this particular piece, when a dog bark, you better listen. When you feel that in you, when that intuition comes to light, you should probably believe it and take heed to that something that's going on and act accordingly. But, you know, not all people do that, and they try to placate it or, you know, well, he said he was with his friends or, well, he, you know, yeah, okay.
Yeah, who's going to tell the truth?
There are a few. I was in a relationship with a dude, and, you know, surprisingly enough, you know, when I found out that he was cheating, he owned it. You know, he's like, yeah, this is what it is. You know, this is what I did, boom, boom. And although you don't like the action, and this person and I are still friends to this day, we've been friends for years, I respected the fact that he didn't insult my intelligence and try to placate it with, you know, it wasn't me, the Shaggy song, it wasn't me. Yeah, it was you. And I know it was you. So that, not that it makes it simpler or, you know, it makes the hurt go away any less or anything like that, but you got to at least say he was respectful enough to tell the truth. And once you have the truth, you really can't go anywhere with that, with just the truth. So. And then the second piece, what's that bitch's name? As I was saying, you know, it's just kind of, you know, you out here cheating or whatever. If you're going to do that, you should probably find another club to go hang out at or someplace where your girls ain't going to be or your girls' friends or family don't go hang out. You don't just come all up in the club parlaying, acting like, you know, you ain't going to run into somebody. And you so into the chick you cheating with, you don't even see that your girl is in here peeping what you're doing. People get shot like that. They get cut. You know, battery acid thrown in their face, Drano put in their car, you know, shit like that, over something that simple. So I think people should be just more conscious of when they're doing their surroundings, you know, because, you know, if you're in jail, you got to be conscious of your surroundings all the time. So, yeah.
Now, that's crazy. So basically what you said, this is what happens, is the guys get into these situations, right? And are not even smart enough to go to other places instead of going to your regular place.
Because right. You are so busy caught up with the caught up, you don't even know that I'm in the club peeping you all hugged up with this chick. And I'm trying not to act a fool in the club and be disrespectful and, you know, show that I'm ghetto a little bit. So I wait till we get home, but you want to sit up here and act like you don't see me, and you don't see me because you're so into, you know, Miss Tingling over here. So,
yeah,
you know.
And one of the things, like you pointed out earlier, you say women seem to lie a little bit better. I don't think it's so much that they lie better. They plan out their events a lot better than men do. So it appears to be actual fact. You know what I mean? They're going to go through the whole motion. If they say they're going to go out with their homegirl on April the 17th, they're going to keep bringing it up that they got this wedding to go to. No, you don't want to go, blah, 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 blah. They're going to play the whole role. So they can sold it so good that on April the 17th, you're not even going to call. You're not even going to question the situation because they done laid it out. You know, it's premeditated. So I think men don't plan well. And the simple fact is, like you said, why are you taking this girl to the same places that we go to? She going to the bar that you go to. You're taking her to the barbecue, the annual barbecue that me and you used to go to. You're doing all these crazy things, and somebody's going to come back and tell it, or I'm going to show up at this same Cheesecake Factory that we eat at every week.
Right, like there ain't no more restaurants in town, or you know, the thing about it is I have some people I know in my life whose names remain anonymous, but the people that they cheat with are, I mean, I'm assuming if you are driving a 97 Honda, if you get another car, you don't want a 95 something. You're trying at some point to up your game. So if you got a woman who, you know, whatever she doing, she holding it down, you probably don't want to, you know, go get, you know, hoochie mama from the strip club or whatever and be all flossed up. I mean, up your game, you know, to some degree. Do a little bit of something to allow you to, you know, do what's what. Do up your game. Most women, if they cheat, they're going to up their game, or they're at least trying to, you know, for the most part, floss well. You know, if you see me out with a nigga and I got a nigga, you can best believe I'm upping my game. So, because I stand to lose, and if I'm losing at the end of the day, I need a place to go if I get kicked out or something. But I got friends and family members who have cheated, who have, you know, whatever, with these old, I call them sucker nothing niggas that ain't got nothing, you know, living in their basements. You got to go pick them up to go creep. You got to pay for the whole. I mean, are you kidding me? What? I mean, really? Really? So, I mean, you risking losing your home, your family, and all that for a nigga who can't even get a hotel room, who can't even buy you a meal? I'm amazed. I'm just amazed at the things people do sometimes for some dick. I'm just shocked about it. So, I mean, I understand the dynamics of dick. I know that dick is good all the time, and all the time, well, no, I ain't going to say all the time dick is good because it's not. But, you know, I understand the process that goes through some people's minds when they're trying to, you know, whatever, but I'm just thinking, like, for real? You got to go pick the nigga up because he ain't got no car? You got to pay for the hotel room because he ain't got no money, no job? What the fuck? You know, I mean, and it ain't like you really feeling this dude or y'all have some kind of history or whatever. You just want some dick or some pussy. I mean, really? So, yeah. I mean, things happen like that and situations jump themselves off more so than not. But in my past experiences, if you're choosing to go a certain route, or if you're choosing to creep out or cheat on your mate or whatever, at least, you know, have the sense enough or the concern enough to try and be with someone who is a little bit, you know, on your level or whatever. So, I mean, that's just me. That's my thought, you know, and I understand that, you know, not everybody feels the same way or whatever, obviously, because I see it going on. But I would love to believe or think that at least people are being a little bit more, conscious of what they're sleeping with or what they risk losing their family and they home and their stability over when it ain't really that necessary. So, that's just me. So, Robert, did we lose you again? Is he on the line?
No. I'm still here. I'm sitting here. I'm listening. I mean, you're giving some great feedback. I mean, some of the guys don't want to hear some of these things you're saying right now, but, hey, the truth hurts. And like you said, if you can't say amen, say out. Change your game up. Step your game up. Or keep your monkey ass at home. Do one of the choose
no,
one.
No doubt. I mean.
and also, you know, like I said, it's a lot of people here listening, guys, but if you want to participate, we enjoy having the listeners, but it's also engage in the conversation. We like to be able to talk to you And if you're a poet, up-and-coming poet, or if you're already a very established person, it doesn't matter. Join the conversation. Bring some of your pieces to the table. Bless the world with what you have. Once again, you are listening to If You Can't Stand the Heat. Gina J, a.k.a. Explicit Fire, is your host. My name is Robert Drake, and I'm here listening to poetry the way that I listen to poetry and the way that the world needs to listen to poetry, right? Also, we invite everyone to tune in to Waco Jams, which is WACOJAMZ.com, 24 hours of great music, talk shows, right? This show is also a part of Waco Jams, so make sure that you tune in and you listen. If you have any requests, send them to us. We'd love to hear from you. Gina J, you have about 15 minutes left unless you want to extend out. But what do you have for us next?
We'll see how it goes. This piece is called Remember When You Used to Beat It Up.
Ooh, Remember When You Used to Beat It Up. This is interesting. Go ahead.
Yeah, it is. It's a little bit. Remember that night I called your bluff? I mean, all due respect, Poppy, you had some good-ass stuff. And see, I could never, ever get enough. Giving you up was tough. There was no love lost, just lost lust. Remember when you used to beat it up? You used to get knee-deep between the sheets while you 69-page, while you sleep for the creep, and there was no rest for the weary or the weak. And if your meat went soft, I used my tongue and my teeth. See, rough sex was the best for us. Remember when you used to beat it up? I mean, moans and groans weren't heard for nothing. You beat it up like I stole something. You beat it up like I owed you money, and the next day had me walking funny. Remember we would go round for round, pound for pound, sound for sound, until the winter hit the ground or the sunrise came around? Remember when you used to beat it, then eat it, laid it so hard, took first aid to treat it, watching me come while you was looking conceited, beating up my area that was most needed. You used to grind us behind below the waistline, and beating up pussy was a crime. The nigga, you need to be doing time. Used to beat it like it was eggs, giving me black eyes between my legs. Used to beat this like it was a drum until you heard the words fall from my tongue. Baby, I'm about to come. Remember we used to make lust not love, uppercut this butt like a boxing glove, spitting out your mouthpiece and nibbling on my thighs and cheeks and not being scared of licking what was underneath. Used to beat between my legs, used talk to outline my body in your bed, beating like you were shooting lead instead. See, I was never, ever too proud to beg. You took one dose of that penicillin because of the feeling, thrilling, coochie killing. Beat this meat like a punching bag. Drop bombs on this ass like a luncheon pad. You used whips and cuffs and all kinds of stuff. Remember, Daddy, when you used to beat it up? That's what's up.
That is what's up. Ooh-wee. You brought back some memories. You know, I do remember back in the days when, you know what I'm saying, I was a young whippersnapper. You know, could beat that back out, you know. Things change as you get a little older.
Yeah,
I ain't saying I still can't perform. But, you know, back in the day when you had your endurance and everything working the way it was working, boy. Let me pause for a minute. Let me think.
That particular piece was motivated by a particular individual who beat it up. And you know, like you said, when you was younger, you can do younger things, and I can't be swinging from chandeliers and all that no more, but I am still explicit fire in every way, every day, all day. So I love that. But, you know, just a little spice, something different. When I first started really doing poetry and going around to different places and perform, a lot of things that I would hear feedback from people in the audience, both men and women, was that I would say things or my poetry says things that they be thinking but could never say. And I was having a conversation with a friend of mine a few days ago, and basically it was like if you can't tell the person that you are involved with intimately what you like, be it rough, be it, you know, candles, be it wax, be it handcuff, role-playing, spanking, twosomes, threesomes, whatever it is that you are into, and you can't honestly express that with the person that you're with, you probably shouldn't be with that person. And a lot of times, more so than men, women are really guilty of not doing it. They just, you know, theoretically they have been brought up to believe or it's been society's, you know, conception that women are to please men and they don't really have any sexual desires that need to be used. A damn lie, because yes, we do. And a lot of times we do ourselves an injustice because we don't verbalize to the men in our lives what we like, how we like it, or what they doing just ain't doing it for us, you know, because some men think, well, you know, they the greatest lover since peanut butter and jelly, and somebody done told them they all of that. Well, you might have been all of that to them, but to the person you with, you may not be, and not because you can't, but because you refuse to learn or you don't want to take instruction because you think it, you know everything. And what I call people like that are selfish lovers, and we have all come in contact with them, men and women. I mean, if you're a man and you like getting your dick sucked, you probably want to tell the woman how you like it. Some people like it licked. Some people just like the head. Some people want you to suck their balls. Some people want you to take it deep. Some people want you to swallow. Some people want you to lick around on it. Some people want you to get it real wet. Some people like dry head. You know, I mean, it's all different types of ways to please your man, but you have to know what he likes. You have to know the way he wants his dick sucked. You have to know what gets him off. Eating pussy. I don't know who told y'all everybody eat pussy great, but some women like it licked. Some people like you to lick their ass or put the finger in it while they're doing it or suck on it harder. Or, you know, I don't want you chewing on my pussy. I'm sorry. This is, I know it's called eating pussy, but I really don't want you eating in the concept of chewing some shit. So that's painful. So however you like it, whatever you like, I think is best if we can all express ourselves honestly and openly and give our mates what they desire. And men who are really in tune with their partners are receptive to that, and they will do that, and the rewards are just, I mean, if a man would just listen to his woman, the rewards are just, whew, you know. But, yeah, I was getting carried away.
Well, I was trying to write down all those things, so I can't wait to play this show back because I was checking off all of those. But I think I'm just going to have to do all of the above, you know, especially the one that first list you was going down. But we have another caller on the line that's calling in on Skype. Caller, are you there?
Yes, this is Peanut Butter and Jelly.
You got Peanut Butter and Jelly on the line, explicit. Peanut Butter and Jelly, you have a question?
No, I just want to say that I've listened to the show, and it's been a wonderful show. And one thing I will say is your honesty and candor is refreshing in the area in which you speak. And I wish more people had, I don't know if it's the courage or the gall or the whatever it's called, to express themselves in that way. The world would be a much, much better place because so many people you come in contact are just not comfortable enough to express themselves in that manner.
Absolutely. Now, I don't mean to cut you off there, Explicit Five, but I guess I did mean to do it, huh?
You're all right.
Based on freedom of speech. Based on freedom of speech, I had an opportunity to talk to some people yesterday on Silent Words Unleashed last night about this Erykah Badu situation. So
yeah.
I would like to ask you, you being an artist, and Erykah's, you know, artistic expression, where she went down to the Dealey Plaza and shot a video on one take, and it's playing on YouTube and everywhere, where she actually stripped.
Mm-hmm.
Naked, all the way down to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And the Dallas police right now are trying to get someone to file a claim or press charges against her so they can arrest her.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about the freedom? That wasn't actually you. You're doing freedom of speech. Hers was actually freedom of, I guess, is that part of freedom of speech? Or
freedom of the ability to express themselves in a free and unconfined manner. I just had someone on Facebook earlier, and they were talking about that. And you know, the thing about it is, and this is how I feel about nudity and sex and all that, America is probably the most backwoods-ass country when it comes to certain things. We are so uptight about titties and ass and pussy and dick. We were born naked. We have bodies. Nudity is art. Nudity is beautiful. If you don't love yourself naked, then what is the problem? I think the issue that people are taking with this is that, you know, she was out in a public venue and she took her clothes off. Well, we see a lot of women walking around. Damn, they're naked anyway. A lot of them we don't want to see. We got a lot of men that think these tight shirts and these big old stomachs and these, you roses. I mean, it's just a lot of things that ain't really that attractive. Erykah Badu, I ain't gay, but her body was banging. She's a beautiful black woman. She is lyrically profound. I love her. I love her music, her expression. So in that sense, I'm all with it. It didn't hurt nobody. There was nobody running for the border. They was looking. And at the end of the day, it was what it was. So to want to arrest her because she broke the law, yeah, okay, she did. But who did she hurt? And who was offended by it for the most part? And you know, on Facebook, you got a lot of women, you know, well, I think that was the same. Or, well, please, go touch yourself or something. Go have a moment and touch your body. If you become more in tune with your body, you ain't really all worried about what somebody else doing with theirs. But for me, I loved it. I thought it was great. I didn't really know what the naked part and the lyrics had to do with one another, but it worked for me, so I'm all for it. Go check it out.
Yeah, well, we have Peanut Butter and Jelly back on the line, but also I want to say is we have a lot of haters on these shows that saying, well, when did her butt get like that? The girl butt, Erykah been fine. I don't know what they talking about. That girl has been fine ever since she been doing records. She
black
just sometimes works some crazy stuff that you can see the butt.
They have kids. You know, we get asses and thighs when we have children, and we always had asses. We don't have to go get shots and implants. You've always had lips and titties and ass, and we have all that. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I have heard several women on very prominent TV shows that had to give an opinion of the video, and they said, if my body was like that, damn, I'd be willing to do that too. The girl was banging. The question is, how did she go down there, do this video in one take, in an area that's a tourist attraction, and no police saw what was going on?
I mean, I'm thinking maybe her people probably, you know, went and sat and you know, kind of surveyed the area and maybe saw when it wasn't. So, because it wasn't really a lot of people out, from what I'm looking at. So maybe they found a time where it's not as busy or whatever the case may be. But like you said, I mean, those people that that have hang-ups about nudity and sexuality and, you know, sex is everywhere. You can't turn on a commercial and they ain't showing somebody's titties and ass trying to sell some gum or trying to sell, what the hell does titties and ass have to do with a Big Mac or whatever. So, I mean, at the end of the day, it's everywhere. And I can't be hypocritical and talk about it and then say somebody don't have a right to show themselves. So for me, it wasn't an issue. I don't get hang-ups. I took my man to a nude bar and paid for a lap dance because that's what it is, and I'm not tripping. So that's just me. But, you know, everybody and have different views and perceptions on how they do. I think we got a caller on the line that want to get on the mic.
Okay. We have about 3 minutes left, so I'm going to send you out a little bit. Is that okay?
Say that again. I'm sorry.
You have 3 minutes left, so do you want me to go ahead and extend it out a little bit longer?
Yeah, if you can.
Okay, I will do that. Give me a minute. You guys go ahead.
All right.
You said you had a caller on the line?
Do we have a caller on the line? Caller from where? Well, let's open them up. Hello,
okay.
Caller? Hello?
I don't know which line. Well, we have peanut butter and jelly on the line.
I'm not sure if it's a caller. That, I'm not sure where they're calling from, but I guess we can't get them through. And we
caller,
have
are you there? Hello, caller. I have a mic open, so nobody's saying anything. So.
Sure it is. And you said, who's on the line? Peanut Butter. Oh.
Peanut Butter and Jelly that called in a few minutes ago.
Mm-hmm. Is that peanut butter with nuts or the crunchy kind? Which one is that?
I don't know. You have to ask that guy.
Well, I got another piece I'm going to go into. It's called Pillow Talk.
Okay, let's do it.
Hey, brown eyes, my body is calling you. Please run, don't walk. Lay your head on my breast for some of my erotic pillow talk. Tell me where it hurts you, baby, so I can take away the pain. Let's go hard. Work is done until we have time to play, and that's the name of the game. I like telling you all about my wild and sensual fantasies. As your hand caresses my thighs while sliding inside of my panties, it is a pleasure to consume you and a delight to have you here. I am all yours for the asking. You have nothing, baby, to fear. Let me whisper hot and sexy noises to get you all worked up, and I promise to make you feel good with each and every suck. I want to give myself completely to you and make you all mine. So let's skip the small conversation and get straight to the 69. I have the chocolate, the caramel, the oil, and the whipped cream, and all you have to do is give it to me until I begin to scream. Hold on, Big Daddy, because you're about to enter that G-spot zone. No turning back. Attack this body like you a dog that does his bone. No spoon, no fork, or hands will you need. Just use your face. Direct yourself to that hot spot, and your tongue knows the place. Boy, you are so damn fine, make me want to shout and scream. Got me thinking about you all day and night, and even in my dreams. Don't know if I'm coming or going, but I know twice I came. And I got all worked up from you inside out. I almost forgot your damn name. On a level both mental and physical, we have connected. And I have proven to you I'm the reason you became erected. I want to feel you within me closer than white is to chalk. So I'll hold you close all night long and give you some more of my pillow talk. That's what's up.
That is what's up. Once again, that's another excellent piece by Explicit Five. I think you got the people kind of on the ropes tonight, Explicit Five, the other comedians or the other artists that could call in and participate in the show, the poets. I see the lines lit up there, but I think everybody's kind of ah, you know?
I love ah. Well, yeah.
You know, so you might have to just, you know, let up off of them a little bit. But, hey, you're doing a great job.
I mean, I'm very excited about the show. I think when individuals come together and they have open conversation, because like so many times you said before, when you're doing talk shows, you have people that like to say what they think people want to hear. I'm not that chick. I've been told that I can be, you know, quite blunt and direct. Sometimes I'm mean. I don't think so. I just think it's reality, and sometimes reality ain't always nice and fuzzy. It ain't packaged in a nice little package. And I might step on a few people's toes. It's not intentional, but it's just, you know, doing poetry the way I do poetry or that kind of thing. So in regards to the things that I say, it's not intended to offend anyone or anything like that, but it's just one woman's perspective on how things are. And over the course of the night, we've touched on a few topics about relationships and cheating and intuition and things of that nature. But at the end of the day, I think everybody wants somebody. You have those. I'm single. I'm independent. I don't need no man. I love those conversations because, really, you know, you don't need no man. You don't want no. I'm independent. I pay my own bills. Okay, but then that's why you got C-battery-operated toys all up in. And they not wrong with toys. Let me not say that. But, I mean, at the end of the day, a toy can't hold you. A toy can't whisper things in your ear. A toy can't really make you feel the way that physical connection can. So I think if we're honest with ourselves and open ourselves up to possibilities and not just what we think we want in a man or what a man should be, because I ask women this all the time, are you what you asking for? Do you got a job, but you want a man with one? Do you got a car, but you want a man with one? Do you have good credit, but you want a man who's got good credit? Do you have a home, but you want, I mean, you want a whole lot, but are you a representation of what you asking for? And if you're not, then shut the hell up. Try working on yourself and getting yourself together, and then maybe the right one will come to you, and you ain't got to be out there looking so hard. But, you know, that's just my point of view, and if you can't say amen, you might say ouch.
That's the first time I heard the woman, from a woman's point of view, to say, you know, what do you bring to the table? You want a man to do this, and this, but what do you bring to the table?
I mean, that's real. What do you bring to the table? Or, you know, I mean, you are looking for something, and I think you have every right to want qualities in a man that are admirable or qualities in a man that you feel are what a man should be, what you feel like a man should represent. I'm not knocking that. But in the same sense, that type of man probably wants similar qualities in his mate. He may not ever want you to pay a bill for him, but he might get laid off. And it's nice to know that if I get laid off, my girl can hold me down or have my back till I get back on my feet. Not that you're taking care of no man, but in this world that we live in, you know, most people need two incomes in their house. Most people need give and take. So, you know, it ain't nothing wrong with treating your man to a nice dinner or sending your man some flowers. Men like flowers. Men like to get, you know, flowers for work, too. So it ain't no wrong with buying a man a drink. If you see a man out in the club, what's wrong with sending him a drink over? I mean, we want to be independent, but then we don't. You can't have it both ways. We want to roar, you know, I got my own. I don't need no man for no. Okay, well, then buy that man a drink. He might be, you know, just got laid off. He might need a drink. So you have to look at things from both sides of the coin. Yes, men typically have certain roles that they play in relationships and things like that. And most men, if they on their game, they really don't want a woman to pay and do a whole lot. But it's nice to be able to. And sometimes you can treat and do for your man, and the rewards are, you know, profound. So I look at it from both spectrums. I know some women be like, girl, I ain't buying him no drink. I would never. Well, that's why you don't have no man. And, I mean, you know, reality
is. If you give a man everything that he wants, then you probably can get everything that you need.
Oh, yeah.
If you give him what he needs, you can get everything that you want.
Definitely.
You know,
I mean, not necessarily at the store either, because we know sometimes you can give a person everything and they still just want more. And this ain't a buffet type situation. So at some point, you know, it happens. But I think if you're being honest about what position you are in life and quit looking for the CEOs of the company, maybe the person working in the mailroom is your CEO at home. You know, he helping with the kids. He keeping the trash taken. I mean, all those things are important, you know. And if I come home and my husband has ran some bath water and I got some candles lit, well, I mean, it's going down, and he knows it. So the thing about it is, give me what I, like you said, give me those little small things mean a lot, you know. And everybody ain't going to be big baller shot callers and, you know, got swagger or not, whatever that's about. Swagger is that man holding it down and loving you and respecting you and caring for you to the best of his abilities and ain't out here cheating on you and physically hurting you or emotionally being abusive to you. That's swagger. You know, the hell with what he's driving, because what that means.
Yeah.
You know.
Now, my question is this. Why does the independent, I'm independent, that has a reserved seating area, at McDonald's. Also, now she got. I got to take it to Papa Do's. I have to take it to the Cheesecake Factory. You know, I got to take it out to Papa Cedars or to the Craig's Steakhouse. But you got reserved seating at McDonald's.
Right, or the ones that in the club drinking. They drinking. You know, bottled liquor. They drinking NJ, but now that you buy. Drink, I want some Cavassias. Really? But let me see what's in your glass.
I want a double shot of Patron. You know, but if you ask the waitress, if you tell the waitress, what is the lady drinking, send that over to her, then she mad at you because you sent NJ out, this cheap motherfucker. Well, that's what you was drinking. That's what the waitress told me you was drinking before I bought this drink.
Don't cheat yourself or the brothers in the club that's nursing the drink all night. That's the same drink. Okay, you done bought a bottle of Momo at 9 o'clock, but at 12 o'clock you still got the same bottle walking around with just the bottle. Or you done went to the bathroom and poured some water in it. Would you get off the gas, please? I mean,
what?
Really?
What's up with them, with that $1,500 Louis Vuitton bag and then pay their shoes?
Well,
how did that come together?
Well, I think if we look a little closer, the Louis is not really Louis, it's Lowy. That's Lowy.
Oh, okay, that's what it is.
Yeah.
You know, my eye not really that tight on the purse game, you know what I'm saying? Because I, you know, I know they got some knockoff that's really, really, really close.
Right. I mean, the thing about it is, and everybody want to look nice. I've always taught my kids that you rock the clothes don't rock you. So I ain't never really been all caught up in name brand and all that anyway. I mean, you like to have nice things and you want to have nice things, but, you know, nice things come in time. And they definitely,
well, for some reason, I believe that we lost our host there, Explicit Fire, but hopefully we'll get her dial back in here. Let's go to our caller, Peanut Butter. Are you still there? Peanut Butter, are you still there? Well, what we'll do here is I'll continue to have a conversation with you guys until we get our host back on. Let me see. Because her phone dropped off. I hope she knows that she's dropped off. She was on a fantastic road there, kind of explaining to us some of the situations that go on with these females. Your mic is
Robert.
Open. Are you there? Yes.
Hey, Robert. Can
yes.
you hear me?
Yes,
can
I can hear
me?
You. Yes, I can hear
this
you.
This is my first time being on the radio.
Okay.
I'm
okay.
so excited.
You're so excited? Well, that's one thing about these small little radio micro shows that we're doing is it's easy to get in. I think we had a host back. I have your mic open as well, Explicit Fire. But we have
well,
a caller online. How are you doing, caller?
I'm great. I have been following Explicit Fire for about 10 years now, and I think she is a tremendous asset to the Drama News Network. I really think it's a tremendous show. She's a great artist. Her lyrics are just, oh, my goodness. Everything that I think, it happens to always come out in her freaking poems. I just don't understand. I think it's awesome.
You know, I thought tonight I was going to hear something about, motherfucker, did you get my text?
Right.
But,
right.
You know, the thing
I,
that I like about it, if you notice, I didn't say anything about the Drama News Network tonight until you brought it up, because I think it's a new sheriff in town, or a sheriffette, I guess you call it, or, you know, what do you call it? Well, I guess you call a lady sheriff a sheriff, huh?
Sheriff.
So,
Miss Sheriff.
Yeah, Miss Sheriff. I think it's a Miss Sheriff in town, you know, that's doing things the way that she do things, and I'm enjoying it because I get to sit back and I, you know, talk a lot and just listen, you know. So that's a wonderful thing. But I believe we have Explicit Fire back on the line. Are you there, Explicit?
Yes, I'm back.
You need to write one call. Drop call.
I
you get AT&T or Verizon or somebody, or Singular or somebody to sponsor that.
My phone was called me, and my phone got
me. Okay. Well, we have about 19 minutes left into the show. You have a call on the line. We have a call on the line that says she's been following you for 10 years. Well, you have anything? Excuse me. You have anything that you would like to say to this lady?
I think that someone that follows you for 10 years is called a stalker.
Well, I was gonna ask, was she a stalker or was she a fan? But you know, the breakdown of fan is fanatic. So, hey, it is what it is.
Yeah. So, those people that to show me love and love what I do and support me and come out and listen to the shows and hear me rant even and things like that. It's all good. I know there's some very talented poets in the Cincinnati area, and you know, all over. So now that I'm in, I definitely plan on hitting up the Dallas thing. Got a CD that I'm trying to get up and ready and done so I can release it by June the 1st. There's a lot of things I want to do and places I want to go and love to tap into. But this show is wonderful because it gives us a chance to kick around some he say, she say type stuff and listen to a female perspective, showcase some talent, listen to other people, and different things like that. So definitely looking forward to this show being a success and us doing it here at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. And those that I sent out text messages talking about what is CST for, that's Central Standard Time. So if it's 8 o'clock here, if you're in Cincinnati, it's 9, okay, for you special people. I love doing this, and I think it's great. And like I said, I look forward to the show growing and folks calling in and participating as we get it out there. This is actually our second show that we're doing. So I love it. I love being able to express myself. And like I said, giving it from both sides of the coin. Because a lot of times women, they won't own their own shit, and they put it all on the men. And now, ladies, it's not always on the fellas. It's not always their responsibility to, you know, for our season. So we have to definitely take ownership for that. And so this gives us a format to do that in a, you know, an environment that's conducive to open, uncensored conversation.
Absolutely.
This is Peanut Butter and Jelly.
Go ahead, Peanut Butter.
And Jelly. Don't forget the jelly. And I was given that name because I've been told that I'm the best thing since peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah. Okay.
Huh?
The best thing.
Well,
and jelly. All right.
Yeah, I was going to go with sliced bread, but I'm a little too dark to go with sliced bread, so I go with peanut butter and jelly.
So you
but
no, depending on how you used to beat it up.
No.
You know, she did a pizza a few minutes ago talking about how you used to beat it up, and you thank you. I think she said something about you, thank you, the greatest things for sliced bread, peanut butter, and jelly.
I didn't even know that was part of a poem. I just, you know, that's just what they call me. This is more of a question. How do you know that you have a topic for a poem?
Wow. my friends, things that I see, my own personal experiences. Somebody will say something, I'll be like, that's a topic. Because normally how I sit down and compose a piece, I'll come up with the title first, and then the piece will follow. And a lot of people will do it differently. They do it the opposite way. They'll compose a piece and then give it a title. Some people won't even entitle pieces. But, like, the piece, I did a piece called I Miss Your Dick. Well, I wrote the poem first, and the poem was about the dick that I missed. Or, you know, I wrote the title, I Miss Your Dick, and then I wrote the poem about it. So most of the times I have my title, Sucker Attack, Don't Ask Me for Shit, you know, those kind of things, and then the rest will come. So normally that's how I do it. Friends, they call in with they'll tell me about different situations or people they're dealing with, whatever. I got a piece called Weekend Ho, which is really about chicks that are professionals Monday through Friday, but soon as 5 o'clock hit on Friday, they turn into a weekend hoe. Those kind of things. So it just comes to me like that.
Okay. So, you know, I've heard through the grapevine, and I want you to kind of expound on this because I've heard that there are people out there that criticize your poetry, right? And how do you respond to those people? Do they inspire you in any way when they say, how come you can't write a poetry about love and understanding and all those things? I mean, what do you say to those people when a lot of your poetry is fueled by, I wouldn't say negativity, but I would say encouragement to do better.
To be honest with you, I have never really got negative criticism. I've gotten wild moments. I've gotten, I can't believe you said that. I've gotten, oh, you are angry poor, so maybe that's a negative thing. But for the most part, the men love it. The women, I've been fortunate, and I've had some constructive criticism, but I'm a lyricist. And in saying that, I write poetry about all type of things. I just did a poem at a friend's wedding last week. I did college tours where I talked about, you know, positive role models, and I've spoken at churches and Women Day functions talking about, you know, the characteristics of women. And I do all type. My repertoire of poems is not just limited to sexuality or putting a motherfucking check. However, when I decided to do this as a way to supplement income and make money off of it, that's what the audience likes. So I give them what they like because that's what they're paying for. So I'm known primarily for that type of poetry, but in actuality, I do all types of poetry.
Okay. So to say that sexually motivated poetry is just not all that you do. You have all types of a variety or wide variety of poetry, and you're inspired by things other than sex.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, sex sells.
I completely understand that because I'm inspired by I'm inspired by food, and I'm working on this piece called "You Taste Like Pig Feet." I've been working on it a while. And one of these days, I'm going to finish it.
I have been working on it for a long time. And I hope that you continue to work on it in private you know, in your special place where you go to really focus on your words and how that makes you feel, and then keep it for yourself. Because sometimes there's some poetry that is just for self. It ain't necessarily for the world. And, you know, some people just write for themselves, and that sounds like a piece all for you. And that's beautiful because, yeah.
Well, like I say, I haven't completed it yet, and it may be, you know, it could win a Pulitzer Prize one day when I finish it, but I just hadn't completely finished it yet. So, yeah, but I just want to say that I definitely.
We have another caller on the mic. They got their hand up. They calling from the 513, the Nasty Natty. Is the mic open? Caller, are you there? 513-709, are you there? Hello? Robert, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I was trying to get that other caller on the line.
Oh, okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Are you there, caller?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead.
I'm on the radio?
Yes,
yes,
you are.
Oh, well, hi. I'm just calling because I just wanted to say that Mommy's doing a great job, and I'm loving the show.
Hi, Brittany.
Hi, Mom.
I don't think you old enough to listen to this show. You got some ID?
I'm grown.
You grown. I don't really know how grown you are. Yeah. But thanks for calling in. I'm glad you're listening to it. And thanks for calling in, checking us out. I guess one day you'll get on the mic and you'll spit something too. I don't think I want to hear talking about the stuff I talk about, but you know, yeah. That's to yourself,
right.
Your little place.
All right, bye bye.
Bye bye. Hello.
Now, yes, can you hear me, explicitly?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, here's the deal. Mr. Peanut Butter and Jelly had a question. He asked you about the poetry. I have two questions. One question is for him, one question is for you. The first question to him is, he says he's writing a piece called You Taste Like Pig Feet. My question to him is, are the pig feet still attached to the pig, or had they been cleaned and washed? I guess he's gone. Now, my question to you is, you said that you knew a group of people that were professional Monday from 7 a.m. or 8 a.m. till 5 p.m. on Friday.
Yeah, you know, professional business.
Then they turn in the weekend hoes.
Yes.
Do we have this address book of these weekend hoes?
I mean, Robert, you would be amazed at just turn to the left. Like, you know, they say turn to the left and say neighbor. Turn to the left and say ho. So you know what I'm saying? The most of them right there. And you ain't even got to look really far forward or nothing like that. Most of them are just right there. And I wrote that piece years ago because we used to have this thing at home called First Fridays, and it was for the grown and sexy and the professional crowd. Now, they would come to these parties right after work, all in their little business suit, you know, sipping on apple martinis. That was the drink back then. Everybody was drinking apple martinis. And then we had this spot called Skipper's. Now, Skippers is a club where you get your drink on in a little plastic cup and you dance and you sweat. Now, 2 hours ago, you was bougie with the finger up drinking the martini, and now you down here shaking what Mama gave you with the Hoochie Mama shorts on. Now, I ain't one to gossip, so you ain't heard it from me, but what are you doing? You know, be you all the time. And I'm not saying you can't conduct yourself in a professional manner, but don't act like you two all that all up in the, you know, the networking party, and now you here shaking it what your Mama gave you. With the Doozy Daisy Duke song. So that's why I wrote that piece. Because, okay, now you weekend hoe. I see what you're working with. So,
yeah.
SOS Weekend Girl.
Yeah, but she's like, Weekend Girl, she just want to have a good time with her dude and go out. This is a weekend. Yeah. I might have to do that piece so you can understand where I'm coming from.
You have about 6 minutes left. We have Peanut Butter on the line, and then we have D on the line. I have both of you guys' mics open, so go ahead, explicitly. Go ahead, Peanut Butter.
No, I just want to say, can I give you a title and you write a poem about it? Like, I just want to I always thought this would be a nice title for a poem, like Closet Freak. I don't know what that is, but I think it'd be a real nice title of a poem.
Well, what's that guy? Kung Fu was a closet freak. That was nice. We have D on the line, Explicit Fire.
Hello, D.
Gina. Can you do a poem for me? I've been divorced twice, and now I'm an old cougar, as you call me. So I'm waiting for you to do my piece.
Okay, this is my girl. This is my one of my best. Oh, my God. I've been friends with this girl. All together. So, yeah, I got a poem for you already. It's called You Crazy in a Motherfucker. I've been had your poem. What did he come
from? And you know this, man. I done outlived crazy. I'm doing 20 again, my friend.
Trying to catch
up with you.
I definitely got your piece.
I need something for the young 20-year-old cougar that's out there now.
I do a piece called Cougar on the
Pride. Yes, you do. And add some of that Monica sideline hoe in there, too, because I'm about to go through the neighbor's back door to get in your dough and come back out the window. Hey, I'm glad to hear you. I am glad you're doing it. And you did Mom's poem when I lost Mom. So to see you go this far with it, sis, and keep it real, man, I'm so proud of you. I am so proud of you. And keep doing it. Take all the negative and make it positive, sis. All of it.
I love that. I love you. Glad you called in. We doing this every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. That's 9 o'clock for you folks on the East Coast and in the Midwest. Quit calling me, talking about what the CST stand for. I know y'all wrote the little yellow bus to school, but yeah.
Hey, I love you.
All right, you take care.
You too. Peace.
Okay. Explicit, we have about 4 minutes left. Have one more for
us? I got that piece. I need to know what made them a weekend hoe, so I'm going to go ahead and spit that, and then we can wrap it up. You spend all day Friday shopping at the mall looking for that bomb outfit. Nails and hair done to a T, makeup flawless, thinking you look legit. Babysitter has been informed your bags are packed and you are out the door, but those are the things that must be done because you are a weekend hoe. Pager turned on, cell phone has been charged, car washed and fully gassed. Plans have been made for the night's events and now your check must be cashed. So you run across the river for some Tangeray and Jack, which you know gets you wild. Stop on Glencoe for a sack of bud and stop through the drive-thru for some Black and Milds. See, a weekend hoe always got certain niggas designated at certain spots, so the one that spends the most money surely is the one at the first stop. Now, as she walks in the bar, she quickly spots her favorite Mark. He is usually the one sitting alone in the corner, back off in the dark. She does her I'm the baddest hoe in the room seductive stride. I mean, that trick ain't really walking, it's more of a glide. She orders a drink, but for real, she already got her buzz on. And you can tell by the look in her eyes, she gonna take this nigga home. So a slam, bam, thank you, ma'am, shower, and she got to go. For that's the way she handles her business, for she is a weekend hoe. Now, you would think that a woman who does that would somehow feel ashamed. It's her way of thinking, don't hate the player, nigga, just hate the game. Now, as she transforms back into her weekday mode, no one she encountered would ever know that when the clock strikes 5 on Friday, she turns into a weekend hoe. That's what's up.
That is what's up. Once again, that's what's up. I like the way you sit these pieces up. You make a statement about a weekend hoe and me not knowing, just being gullible. You come right back with a piece. Now, I don't know if you're freestyling, if it's something that's written down, but it was right on point. And these women need to get it together, you know, these guys.
Definitely. I think relationships is one topic that will never get old, die down. And as I've encountered the land of Facebook and encountering people and chatting with different people, whatever, I'm finding that, you know, my concept of what I thought about a lot of men ain't too much off the mark. However, I will admit that I've encountered, especially here as of late, some real positive brothers, very expressive brothers doing different things and going through different changes in their life about relationships or whatever. And one of the things that I can honestly say is that people, no matter what walk of life or whatever the case may be, everybody's human. Everybody has basic needs. Men love to cuddle too. Men want affection. Men want to be valued and appreciated. They have some of the same traits and characteristics as women, and women want to be aggressive in the bedroom. Women want to, you know, make the moves and tell you what she wanted and how she liked it. So we all got that yin to the yang kind of effect going on, and we all can be there for each other in a complimentary way if we would just open up our ears and listen and be able to express ourselves verbally without feeling like you're going to be attacked or looked down upon or looked at differently because as a man you want to, you know, express your feminine or your sensitive or your emotional side. And as a woman, you want to be a little aggressive and you want to, you know, flip that ass over and, you know, that kind of thing. So with that in mind, and the poetry, the type of poetry that I do, I'm definitely hoping to hear different types of poetry from some other poets that call in, you know, once the show gets up and popping, and just kind of hear some different things, some political points of view, talking about kids, relationship, why. I mean, just all types of things. We're not limited to just talking about the type of things that I talk about, but if I'm the only one talking, then damn it, that's what I do. So at the end of the day, this is if you can't stand the heat, you know, don't come in my kitchen, basically. And this is explicit fire, and this is what I do.
Yes, and this is what she does every Wednesday night. You can catch her here every Wednesday night at the same time, same place, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. If you need to book up or some shows, catch out on Facebook, send us some emails, join this movement, tell all your friends, and bring everybody that you can. If you can't stand the heat, explicit fire. And don't forget to tune in to Waco Jams, WACOJAMZ.com. Thank you all. Have a great night. And we'll catch you back here next Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Robert Drake, and I'm your host, and we're broadcasting live from DCW Studios in Dallas, Texas.
He learned to pitch in your backyard. Now his team's coming over to celebrate their high school champion, Paris Bear Spots, in only 2 weeks or less. Pennington's been trusted since 1945, and now at Workship. So you need to patch those bare spots fast. Pennington One Step Complete has a revolutionary formula that's even faster. One Step Complete from Pennington. Honest green. Get your lawn ready for any occasion. Head to your local retailer to pick up One Step Complete.